So we like to have different voices be able to teach and be able to share. So I've asked Patrick Kilborn to come and bring the word for today, to bring a teaching for us. And I'm sure we're all curious what's up with this. Anyway, Patrick, let us pray for you. Let's extend hands here. And Father, we thank you that even in our planning and preparation, Lord, you guide us, you lead us, you direct us. And I thank you, Father, for the word you've put into Patrick's heart. And Father, as he delivers, Lord, we just pray that, even though we do pray that it goes comfortable for him, we pray for our own hearts, Lord, that we will hear the word that has to be spoken. That we will be open to what you have, not only to hear it, but Lord, to allow it to study us and to allow it to conform us more into your image. And so, Father, thank you. We ask your blessing be upon Patrick and that you would just stir this flame into him. We just thank you for him and bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. All right, let's keep this brief. We have things to do, places to go. So, any good sermon begins with Scripture. Every good sermon points to Jesus. The reason we're here collectively is to learn about Jesus. So I started preparing for today, by praying, Lord, what Scripture should I teach on? And I heard fairly clearly, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you do not forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. And I thought, good, nice light topic. End of year. I was thinking it would be nice to do some sort of goodbye 2014, hello 2015, a fresh start, you know. And as I prayed about this and thought about this, I thought, well, there's something in here. There is a fresh start in here. There is something there for us. But I was still confused, so I had some people pray for me and say, what should I preach on? And I got some really nice light stuff like hardness of heart and overcoming hardness of heart. I thought, well, that's good. That's easy, right? Right? No. Yes. Hallelujah. So, what is our hope for 2015? The year to come would be freedom. Is that good? Is that good? We like that? Freedom. Like what you were saying this morning. That. But, you know, we all struggle. Things weigh us down. Things that are not our freedom. So what kind of things are we struggling with? Anyone? Shout it out. What's the opposite of freedom?
Captivity,
slavery, debt. Things that weigh on us, right? Having another birthday, things like that. Oh no, how old am I now? Worry. Freedom comes when we surrender these burdens to God, ultimately, right? Part of what Scott was saying is this idea that these economists say that ultimately we have to realize that we don't really have control. We need to surrender these things to God. However, John 8:34 says, here's where it gets fun. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So the big question then is, how can we surrender these burdens, these things that are weighing us down, these real world problems, when we're captive to sin, right? Is that so? What do we do, Dane? What do we do? We admit that we need help. We've got to get over sin first. Does that sound reasonable? Yes, yes, yes. Can I get an amen? You know those preachers, amen. I feel like a bad stand-up comedian. You know, are you breathing out there? But sin is one of those big words. I know it's only three letters. It's one of those big words that we stumble on. And if you're not a Christian and you get this, oh, they're talking about sin again and oh, sin. But I don't know that we really understand what sin is. Like, if we threw it out to you guys, what is sin? Can someone help me? What does sin mean? Right? Separation from God. Will of what? Outside the will of God. Right? Anything you say that goes against God, that's all good, right? When I'm researching this, I'm looking through the Bible and I'm finding all the hundreds of places sin is mentioned. And most of the Hebrew and Greek words, when you drill down to the meaning of them, they mean sin. So sin means sin. So I thought, that's not very helpful. In Luke 11:4, there's a different word used for sin. And it's the Greek word hamartia. Good? And there's a bit of a light bulb comes on here, Krista. It is the ethical failure. Missing the mark, right? Action neither originating nor empowered by God. Okay? So in our lives, we're always making decisions, right? I'm walking along this path, and I'm going to make a decision. By the way, if you're preaching, never turn your back on the audience. I'm walking along this path, and I need to make a decision. So I have a choice. Am I going to turn to the right? Right? God. Or am I going to turn to the left? Not God. Whatever the decision, putting gas in my truck, I could just drive away. They'd never see me. I'm making a decision. There's an action going to happen. And is that a godly decision or is that a not God decision? In its simplest concept, sin is when I turn to the left. Anybody a big fan of Ecclesiastes? One of my favorite books, right? What does it say in Ecclesiastes? Come on, someone read it. The fool is inclined to the left. That's why I put that sign on the left, by the way. So there's sin, nice and simple, okay? Big scary word, storm cloud over our heads, we stab ourselves with it. Ah, sin. But really, it's as simple as action that is neither originated nor empowered by God. I think we could spend a month talking about sin, but we'll leave it at that for now. So I need a volunteer from the audience. Dane? Sorry, you'll see why. So, once we've sinned, though, we take on a burden. I'm going to have to sit this down for a minute. Back to the mic. He takes the sin, this weight, and he carries it. It's his sin. It's on his back. Okay? Now, along comes Patrick, who's in a flippant mood, and makes another joke about Dane's hair. And Dane is offended. You see, now I'm sinning against Dane. I'm choosing not God. Rather than honoring Dane, I'm saying, who looks older? Yeah. Now, I'm just telling a joke. I'm just being funny. But not Dane. He's offended, and he should be, because that's really hurtful what I'm saying. Right? I'm making fun of his genetics. I'm choosing not God. Dane's got this weight now. Dane's been hurt. Okay? You know, he'll laugh about it, but he's carrying this burden now. So then, you know, he goes home, and things don't go well, and someone else says something or does something to him. Someone else sins against him. So this is us. You got it? Can you see this? We're carrying our own sin on our backs. We've got this weight. And other people keep doing things. I get cut off in traffic, and some guy's tailgating me. I say unkind things. In that case, the sin of that person is weighing on me. And then I respond by saying something unkind and being angry. And I get more weight to carry from there, too. Little things. I mean, some of these are very small, but you can understand that far more serious things happen. So, Dane, let's go for a run. Here's another little cute bit here. Let's say Dane, come back here. Let's say Dane is, sorry, stand there for a second. Let's say Dane's trying to get to God. So come to God. Hold on, here. Try to get past this. This is in your way. You got to get past that, right? So he can't move the stool, right? He's got to, like, kick it, right? He's got this weight that he's carrying. So what does he do with it? Anyone? Sets it down? Right. Right? So forgiveness, forgiving others who've sinned against us, is about saying, I don't need to carry this anymore. Right? Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, for the Lord has chosen me to tell the good news and to announce the captives shall be freed from their prisons. Okay? What we tend to do is we tend to short-circuit it, and we go, Dane weighed down by sin, trying to go for a long walk, is exhausted quickly because he's carrying all this weight. Along comes financial burdens and other issues in life. He can't deal with them because he's got all this, well, in this case, it's water. I was going to bring bricks because that would be more, you know, illustrative. He can't deal with it. He's weighed down. So we often make the mistake of going, oh, my sin is doing it, so I need to seek forgiveness. So Dane, take the backpack off. But you can't set this down.
I'm stuck.
So here we have Dane struggling in his sins that he's committed, and he wants relief. And perhaps, you know, the Lord will go, like, let's get some of this stuff out of here, Dane. But he's still got this burden. He's still got this holding him down. And I think that this scripture is very clear. You know, the Lord's Prayer, right, is very clear. Forgive us our sins while we refuse to forgive those who sinned against us. Right? I mean, the fundamental prayer that Jesus taught us, is that how it goes? No, how does it go? Against us. Trespass. Yeah. There's an interesting, in some versions of that translation, there's an interesting little turn there where it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. And it's almost like there's a weigh scale, you know? That to the extent that I forgive others, perhaps I am forgiven. Now, that's not strictly biblically accurate, but it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting kind of concept. And in Matthew 6:14 and 15, we come back to this. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here we have Dane stuck. Is it getting heavy yet? Good, I was going to put more water in if it wasn't. We have to be realistic about forgiving others, though, right? It's not easy, right? Is it easy? Is it easy to forgive others? Really? Because people have really been hurt. People have intentionally hurt us. And I mean, apart from me just making, you know, bad comments about Dane's hair and offending him, there is real hurt. But the problem is, by refusing to forgive, Dane is holding on to the hurt. Okay? I will not forgive my brother because he wanted me dead and he tormented me my entire childhood. That's true, by the way, of me. But as long as I refuse to forgive him, I'm carrying the injury. I'm like, yeah, I've been hurt, and I'm proud of the fact that I've been hurt. Right?
I want to forgive you now, Patrick. Yeah.
So what should Dane do? Should he seek revenge? Right? Isn't that our gut response, though? Hey, Dane. Your hair today. And Dane would say in response, yeah, well, your hair. I mean, my God, look at his hair. I should shave my head. It'd be easier. This is a typical knee-jerk response. Someone cuts you off. Someone sins against you in traffic, for all of those who drive. And our knee-jerk reaction is to immediately sin against them. You, X, you, bad, ah. And we throw curses at them, don't we? Right? To what extent do we, how often do we actually curse people? You know, but we're justified because they sinned against us. They offended us. And then you walk away from the incident triumphantly carrying your Nob Hill basket full of stuff. I love Dane. I'm going to hurt him today. So what's the Bible say about revenge? You want to read this?
Yeah.
Do not take revenge. Romans 12:9. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Or justice. Justice is a better word. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. So if someone sins against you, understand that by carrying this, you're only hurting yourself. And you're denying that person of God's rightful justice and judgment. Better to hand the sinner over to God's judgment. Right? Because what does the Bible say about judgment? Does the Bible say, judge lest you be judged. Mercy. Right. How many of us here live by Matthew 7, to the extent that you judge, you will be judged? Or how many of us live by the standard of, it's my right? Right? I find that we often, talking to people about judgment, there's always that little string of, yes, but I get to, because I know my Bible, and they're in contravention of the rules, of the law, and we turn into Pharisees. Our judgment is wrapped up in fear and anger and excuses. When we judge, we put ourselves in the place of God, right? And we choose, when we judge, when we hold on to our offense, we choose to harden our hearts. Now, there's other causes of a hardened heart. You know what I mean by hardened heart? Is that, anybody not know what I mean? Like, really, put your hand up if you don't. You know, what's that? Said, yeah, you know, hardened heart, not good, right? Like, you incapable of giving or receiving love or forgiving. So when, again, we're back to this, right? I choose not to forgive. I'm going this way. So hardened our hearts. So Dane right now, he might be feeling a little hard in his heart towards me. How you doing? Okay, we'll get there. Almost. Think about all the things Dane could be doing right now if he didn't have a hardened heart. Think about all the, how many times has God called you into doing something and you haven't done it because you've got lingering resentment, right? Hardened heart, you know? So the reality is that some of us have been hurt very deeply. And as a result, and we see this often in prayer ministry. Dane, the Lord's telling me you need to forgive your mother. And Dane goes, I already have forgiven my mother. You know, if you've been to prayer ministry, you've seen this. We've seen it again and again. I already have forgiven my mother. You know, let's just forgive her again. Because I know that she really didn't want to hurt you. Sorry. Yeah. That's Dane's mother, by the way. Diane here. She's a great and godly woman. Okay. If you feel the slightest inclination of, man, there's my piano. I did forgive my dad. I don't want to have not forgiven my dad. But there's still that little sliver of, you know what? Forgive him. Just do it again. But sometimes the hurt is so bad and so traumatic. Someone purposely, intentionally, over the course of years, hurt us. That we need help forgiving. It isn't just as simple as, oh, I forgive my dad. Sometimes it is that easy. Sometimes it really is that easy. Just go, yeah, I'm good. I'm done. Sometimes it takes more effort. You need God's help to forgive. You need to be more intentional about it. You need to set the basket down. Yeah. So, how's that feel?
It feels
good. Okay, now take the backpack off. Okay. Yeah. You want to go sit down? Yeah. So, thank you, Dane. So when someone has caused you real damage and you've gone through this idea of forgiving and then you find out that you haven't really forgiven them and now you start to feel guilty and you start to spiral out of control and then things get worse again, go back, forgive them again. If it's not working, if you're spinning, if it's causing you even more anxiety, find someone to pray with you. We have a prayer ministry team. We have a senior pastor. People who want to pray with you. People who want to be God's hand and feet. Don't be afraid to let go. You know, the example here is all about this idea that if I don't forgive, how can I forgive them? But you're carrying this weight. You're just re-injuring yourself. If you really want to be free, stand before God and say, Lord, I forgive them. I release them. Okay? So that's what Dane did. Lord, I forgive them. Boom. Now, if Dane's hands had cramped up to the point where he couldn't let go of the basket because he's holding on to it so tight, that's when he needs a friend to come along and say, here, I'll take the weight. Let me here. I'll take the bottles out of the, you know, I'll help you with it. So, forgiving others. First step. Second step. Did you know there were steps? Second step, confession. Now that we've released the offenses that people have said on us, confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, God/Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? We got that? So is it really that easy to be forgiven for our sins? Really? Yes? It is? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. How many of us still have the backpack on? How many of us still are wallowing in shame and pride? You know, that thing I did. Jesus can't forgive me that. I mean, he can forgive me for cutting the guy off and making fun of Dane's hair. You know, gosh, that's easy. But he can't forgive me for, I don't know. What's a good sin that you can't be forgiven easily from? Anybody got anything they want to throw out there? What comes to mind right now with you? Murder. Adultery. Good one for men. Pornography. Lord, forgive me. I'll never do it again. Oh, no. How many times does Jesus forgive?
9 times 70.
You know, so the Roman guards flogging Jesus. Microphone arm, microphone elbow. The Roman guards were flogging Jesus, beat him to the point of death, nailed him to a cross, right? We all saw that movie. What did Jesus say? Has anyone here been that bad? I mean, and I want to use the word bad here, you know. Has anyone here sinned that bad? Who here has flogged Jesus to the point of death and then killed him? And his response was, forgive him, right? So whatever your sin is, it doesn't compare to that. There's a good theological argument, and some of us have open visions. We're actually nailing Christ to the cross, but that's part of, you know, a much bigger topic. So yeah, it really is that easy. So, step one. Yell. Come on. What was step one? Forgive others. Step two. Confess our sins. Step three. I know I haven't told you. I can see who the clever ones are. Step three. Repentance. Ed got it. There is this idea. What did Christ say to the woman on the well? Go forward, your sins are forgiven. Go forward and sin no more. He said that to the woman when he was writing in the sand. The adulteress, right. Okay. What does that mean? Go forward and sin no more. I mean, we're going to sin again. Christ will forgive us again. But what is this idea of repentance? What does that word mean? Turn away. Change your mentality. The Greek word, metaneo. To change one's mind or purpose, to change one's direction, to psychologically turn. Okay? I like to do it this way. I like to explain it this way. So, in my walk, in my Christian walk, and I remember not being a Christian, so it's pretty vivid for me. I'm walking to God slowly. I should be on my knees. But I sin. I make these choices. I turn back. I turn to not God. I stop walking towards life. I start walking towards death, spiritual death, right? To repent is to go right. Going the wrong way again. And in my head, in my heart, I willfully turn and I start walking this way again. See, when we forgive others, we're saying, I'm not carrying the basket anymore. When we receive forgiveness, we take the weight off our back so we can move easier, you know, more sprite, bouncy. But repentance is going, okay, I'm going to, and unfortunately the reality is, we should put the word try in here. I'm going to try to stop doing this, and I'm going to purposefully and intentionally walk this way. So the next time I have to make a decision, I'm already walking in this direction. Repent. Turn. Jeremiah 15:19. Love Jeremiah. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you. Right? Restoring. So, three steps to unloading our burdens, finding a, what was the theme again? What did he? Freedom. Forgiving others, right? Forgiving ourselves, seeking forgiveness. And the third is repentance. Nice and simple. Simple, simple, simple. The complexity of what we're discussing here, if we really wanted to dig into it, we could easily write a book or two or three on it. And there are volumes that dig into the complexity of the depth of Scripture and the stuff. That's really, Jesus makes it that easy, right? And all he had to do was die for us to take care, to step into that. So my prayer for y'all is to know freedom, to melt any hardness you may have in your heart. So shall we pray together?